You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
This is Sam Ben Ruby from the Grape Nation. We had an opportunity to go down to the Naples Winter Wine Festival and talk to a bunch of different winemakers. This interview is with David Duncan from Silver Oak and Toomey Wineries.
Designing the winery in 06 and 07, and then actually building it through 2008, we definitely had an eye towards sustainability. We had started really a great effort of sustainability in the vineyards, and I just thought, as we were rebuilding the winery, that that needs to apply to the winemaking facility as well. And so that's they were sort of tied together. That we were able to we did the right things in 08, even though we weren't trying to get certified. So that when we did get certified, we were able to achieve LEED Platinum level.
Which is the highest level?
It's the highest level, and we're actually the only production winery in the entire world that's LEED Platinum certified. There's some tasting rooms that are LEED Platinum, and then UC Davis is also LEED Platinum, but it's a teaching winery. It's kind of a different situation.
And then you talked about rebuilding the winery in Alexander Valley.
So that, we actually acquired this vineyard that I was mentioning, and began that process in 2012 when we bought the property.
Right.
And then we designed, permitted, and have built now a second winery. And so we will be going through the certification process there, and we expect that we'll also achieve LEED Platinum there.
So the winery's open. You're just waiting for the certification process.
Yes, you have to go through a certificate. And that's a little different because our LEED Platinum certification in Oakville is actually what they call an existing building certification. And this is a new building certification, which is actually more difficult to achieve.
Is it more difficult?
Yeah.
They give you less leeway, right?
Yeah, less leeway. Yeah. So.
Well, listen, kudos to you because, that's sort of the way everyone should view their businesses now. It costs more. It takes more time. It's harder, but it's the right thing. Another thing you did that everyone else doesn't do is you own your own cooperage. And just back up for me and help me and the listeners. Silver Oak, for most of its time, was American oak?
Always been American oak.
It was always American oak.
Yes.
So instead of sourcing it, you bought your own cooperage, right?
Yeah, well, we sourced for a long time from what used to be called A&K Cooperage in a little town in Missouri, about 45 minutes from Columbia.
It used to be all from there. And now it's all over the country, right? Not all over, but there are different states that provide wood for...
Yeah, a few, but most of it's northern Missouri and Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where...
Okay.
And so we acquired full ownership of the cooperage a few years ago, and we changed the name to the Oak. It's called the Oak Cooperage. And so now we control and produce our own barrels. And about half the barrels we produce go to Silver Oak, and we do sell whiskey barrels and wine barrels to other producers as well.
So you probably know this better than anybody. What American oak imparts what flavors to wine versus, let's say, French? And I think it's American oak that's given Silver Oak its signature style. But tell me what that contribution is. And you can control, by toast and wood and all that. So how does that, affect the wine?
Yeah, I think Justin Meyer, as our founding winemaker, he liked the profile of American oak. But I think it's a sort of a misnomer to think that all of the profile Silver Oak comes from the wood, because it's about what happens in the vineyard and it's about the fruit.
Well, I didn't make that accusation. For
instance, so one of the unique things about Silver Oak is that we blend the wine together before we go to barrel. So when we go to barrel, it is a finished permanent blend, and many wineries blend after they come out of barrel.
Right.
And so, like we're doing the 2017 blends right now, and it's just amazing to me how the wine. I use a word with our winemaking team that Silver Oak is an adjective, so we know when it becomes Silver Oak, you can tell that on the blending bench, and then we put it in the barrels. And so in American oak, people talk about coconut and dill and vanilla.
Right.
And those type of flavor profiles. I never get dill in our wines, but
I don't either. Yeah, I mean that's vegetal, I'll get a green pepper before I get a dill pickle.
I think it's just a delicious, characteristic. And there's so many things that are aged in American oak that people don't realize, like Bacardi rum and all of your Scotch whiskies and bourbon and all Tabasco is fermented in American oak. And so there's a lot of things that people associate with that. So.
The blend is done in advance. It ages in American oak.
For 2 years.
And when it comes out, that's what goes to the bottle.
That's right.
You never wait, this isn't exactly what we want, or you don't screw around.
No.
You stick with the plan, right?
Yeah, we stick with the plan. And luckily, we've been doing it for quite a while now, so we're starting to get better at it.
All right, so this has always been a curiosity of mine. I figured it out, but I figure because I have you here, you'll help me. You make Silver Oak in the Alexander Valley, Sonoma. You make Silver Oak in Napa, Oakville?
Yep.
Is it? So tell me, and we could talk the current vintage, past vintage, or whatever. What are the distinctions, the differences?
So,
and I know it's soil and even climate and all that, but tell me when you open a Napa, you're getting what most of the
Well,
time.
So one of the things that the Napa is more of a traditional, what we call a traditional Bordeaux blend. So we blend larger quantities of Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cab Franc, and Petit Verdot into the Napa, where the Alexander Valley historically was always 100% Cabernet Sauvignon. Today we are blending a little bit of other varietals, Merlot predominantly, and a little Cab Franc.
It'll vary vintage to vintage?
Valley. Yeah, but the Napa typically would be in the, say, around the 80 to 85% Cabernet Sauvignon,
right,
where the Alexander Valley is like 95% Cabernet Sauvignon. It's also a little, the Alexander Valley cabs tend to be a little softer, we really think about the wines that we produce to be consumed with food. So we're not trying to make a wine that stands up against another wine. We're trying to make a wine that makes your food taste better. And the Alexander Valley is, I think, of more like a, can definitely go with a steak, but you could go with a hamburger, a piece of pizza, salmon, kind of a broader array, where the Napa sort of wants that bone
nowadays,
and ribeye.
Drink and eat whatever you want.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, there's no red
Nobody's
wine.
Nobody's yelling at me for eating Silver Oak and salmon.
No, we
need
like
a Pinot
that.
Noir or white wine. You know, forget that.
Yeah.
So the 95%, the 80+%, the other percentages vary year by year.
Absolutely,
because
the blend's never the same. Yeah, and the blend's never the same.
Do you use the 5 blending grapes, or do you stick to Merlot and Cab Franc? I mean, do you ever use Malbec?
We have a little Malbec, and it's rough to grow in Napa, so we don't.
Right.
It's made it in a little bit sometimes, but very small amounts.
So what influences the blend? Because you do the blending up front. It's based on the fruit that comes off the vines,
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that Silver Oak is known for is our consistency. And I always say the way that we are so consistent is by doing things different every year. So
I was just going to ask you that, because there's a Silver Oak style.
Yeah.
But the aspiration is not to make the same wine every year, because you change the blend and all of that.
And it just depends on what Mother Nature throws at us. So, 2017 was a fairly warm summer, relatively speaking, to the last few years. But it doesn't... So a warm summer like that doesn't affect every vineyard in the exact same way. And so we may use more of, this vineyard versus that vineyard in the blend in a year like that. And so, we're fortunate. And we always make, we generally make about 15 to 20% more wine than we put into the blend. And we'll just sell the
The juice? Know, the,
we sell the juice off to in the bulk market, which is a, in the wine business is a normal thing. So, it but it's never, not Silver Oak because it doesn't go into the blend. So it's, by
right.
definition,
I mean,
it's
I
not
get
Silver
that.
Oak.
And you never were enticed to make a second label.
No.
With that extra juice, right?
No, yeah. That
I think it would compromise the brand.
Yeah, I think you know. We, as our general manager likes to say, we make our label is our reserve wine. Yeah, so
I agree with that.
That is that we put the best into the bottle.
You've you know built up the quality and the consistency and the reputation. So what does the future bring? I mean, do you try to keep quality under control?
Well, I mean, the future right now is all about the new vineyard properties we've purchased in the Alexander Valley.
Right.
The new winery.
The new winery up and running.
Yeah, and so as
get
that
into a stride.
As that fruit comes up the vine, and I mean, we have over 100 acres of new vineyard that'll be coming into production in the next 3 to 5 years. And
plantable,
so that's
100
gonna,
acres. That,
well, planted or planting.
Yeah. Because some people
active.
Say 100 acres and 30 are plantable.
Yeah, and you this know, is, for the listeners, that's a lot of vineyard.
And so, in Napa and Sonoma, too.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, so we're really excited about that. I mean, I think the it'll impact quality in a good way, and I like to say we've always made pretty good juice, but there's a lot to we have to look forward to.
So the on the winery and the new property in Sonoma, the property was planted with mature vines, or you had to pull stuff out, replace? I mean, what's
we actually pulled everything out on the property and replanted the entire vineyard. Yeah, so it'll all be Cabernet Sauvignon now.
So you have to wait a few years, or
The first block actually came, we got some fruit this year in 17. So that was the front 25 acres, and then we planted over three consecutive years, about 25 acres a year. So in three or four more years, we'll have the whole vineyard up to full production.
So about 3-4 years.
So yeah,
that's
so
great.
It takes time.
I was just going to say, you have to be somewhat patient in this business.
You do.
You know, I had Piero Antonori on this morning, and you know, his family's business is 600 years
17
old.
17 generations,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
No, 27.
Oh, 27.
Yes.
Okay, oh my God.
And I said, I thought it was 26. He goes, no, now we've deemed our grandkids the 27th
okay. Oh, that's
you know,
great.
Generation. But a lot of things you do, he did, you have to
he's a great
take
inspiration.
The time. You know, you don't want to push the fruit out before it's ready
yeah.
and everything.
Well, I only have 550 years to go, so.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
To catch up with it.
Kids in the business?
I have a niece and a nephew. My,
okay. Working with
both
you?
Both working, yeah. So Matt is has one of the territories in California. We sell direct in California. And Haley, I like to call the Green Queen, has been the project manager and led our lead
up
certification
in Sonoma
effort
at
and at both,
nice.
At both wineries. And she's doing
good
a
for her.
Wonderful job. So
She should be an example to other people
yeah.
how
yeah.
and that it could be done. I think it's pretty easy to say that, like I said earlier, Silver Oak's an iconic wine. It's hard not to walk into a good restaurant and see it on the list. It's hard not to go into a good wine store and not see it available. One of the nice things is availability. I still think it's a great value for what you get. And you used the word earlier that I agree with. It's a delicious wine, and that's a compliment because some people don't use the word delicious. You know, it's finesse or, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you drink it, and you know you're drinking a delicious, well-made wine. I want to thank you for coming in. I know you have to run. You have to run because you are the honored vintner at the Naples
right.
Winter Wine Festival. And I wanted to congratulate you on that again. And the auction itself is about to start. So the festivities are there. And we talked about your big lot and everything. So good luck with that. And thank you for everything you do. And thank you for coming on the Grape Nation. We've
right,
been
thanks,
talking
Sam.
To David and Carrie from Silver Oak. And we'll see you soon.
All right. Thank
thanks.
You very much.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Ever wonder what kind of podcast Julia Child would have made? Probably would have been one where she introduced you to all of her latest discoveries and favorite people. And that's exactly the tradition we're following on Inside Julia's Kitchen, the podcast of the Julia Child Foundation for Gastronomy and the Culinary Arts. Join me, Todd Shulkin, your host, and the Foundation's Executive Director, as I bring you inside the Foundation's world to meet the bright lights of today's food universe, just as Julia used to do from her own famous kitchen. New episodes air on Heritage Radio Network, Wednesdays at noon Eastern. Listen in.